This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Well, I'm sat in the new Square Kilometre Array project office at Jodrell Bank Observatory with the Director General of the SKA, Professor Phil Diamond. So, Phil, perhaps you'd like to tell us about the new building here and what it's all about.
Well, Mark, it's a great building here on the site at Jodrell Bank. As you can see over my shoulder, you can see the Lovell telescope out of the window, which I think is a great reminder of what it is that we do, which is to design and ultimately build the largest radio telescope in the world. So the building itself is provided by the University of Manchester. We're just the tenants here. We're not connected to the university in any formal way. The SKA organization is an independent international organization. It's actually a private company, but funded by governments around the world. The headquarters are here at Jodrell Bank, fairly large building, 1,200 square meters, and ultimately we'll have about 60 people here.
It's quite reminiscent of the main observatory building, actually, isn't it? Although a lot newer, but I mean, the way it's laid out, it's quite nice and open, and everyone can interact.
That's very much the design. Yes, large open space in the central area with tables set up for lunches and coffee breaks. In fact, I just announced to the staff today at our first staff meeting that coffee will be free, and that's to encourage interaction amongst the engineers, the scientists, the visitors. So it's a little hook to get them to come to coffee time.
That is a great boon for academics.
Yes.
We're so used to talking about the SKA, maybe we should explain a little bit about what it is. It's been a very long time in the planning, as you said, the largest radio telescope in the world. So maybe you could just tell us where the design is up to at the present time.
Yeah, as you say, it's been a long time in the planning. The first thoughts that really lent in the direction of the SKA were in the early 1990s. The ideas, the concepts solidified over the years. Some concepts were rejected. And we've come a long way since those early days. So the SKA organization itself was formed November last year. The staff here, the design team started building up in April of this year, working with colleagues all around the world in all the different radio astronomy institutes in the partner countries. And so we're now really at the start of hopefully a four-year process to deliver a detailed design for the SKA. And at the end of that 4 years, we really hope that we'll have the money and we'll be able to issue contracts to industry to actually start digging the ditches, putting the roads in place, laying the fiber, the foundations, and start building the antennas and the whole infrastructure required for the SKA.
So what do we know already about, for example, where it's going to be and what sort of scale of land it's going to cover?
Well, in May of this year, the members of the SKA just took the site decision. It will be split between Southern Africa and Australia. It's going to be built in two phases. Phase one is about 10% of the SKA. Phase two, the remaining 90%. And in the first phase, we expect to build something of the order of 190 15-meter dishes in South Africa to work very closely with the Meerkat array, which is under construction now. And in Australia, 60 dishes working with ASCAP to form a large radio survey telescope, but also the low-frequency array will be in Australia. That will be the dipole array.
And then when it comes to the actual full thing, obviously, it's going to be split between South Africa and Australia.
Yes.
Are they like two separately operating instruments, or how do they interlock?
Well, that's a very perceptive question, and we're spending a lot of time thinking about how they will work together. Both sites will sit under one SKA observatory. We want to make sure that as much of the technology and the systems are as common as can be. Obviously, when you get down into the detail, there will be some differences between the two sites. But we want them to look and feel exactly the same to the user community as if they were sitting on one site. So it will be one observatory, different technologies on the two sites, but the users, the scientific community, will interact with it as a coherent whole.
Okay. And the different frequencies that they operate at, will that be split between the two sites?
Yes. So primarily the low frequency astronomy, from about 70 megahertz to maybe 1 to 2 gigahertz, will be in Australia. The higher frequency, actually we call it mid-frequency, from about 500 megahertz up to 3 gigahertz for phase one, but higher frequencies for phase two. That will be on the DISH array based in Southern Africa. And one thing I forgot to say, for phase two, we have an advanced instrumentation program which may well deliver what are called dense aperture arrays. These are an evolution, in fact, a fairly dramatic evolution of the dipole arrays for low frequencies, and may provide a fantastic new technology for the second phase of the SKA that enables us to see the whole sky at once with essentially flat antennas. But this is advanced technology. We'll take a decision on whether to include that in phase two later on. But it's a big push on developing that technology by European institutes, led by the Dutch.
Yeah, it's fairly amazing. It feels like many telescopes rolled into one, in a sense. You're covering such a huge frequency range, and then you've got a combination of dishes of the fairly traditional type, plus the aperture arrays where you use computers to essentially look at the different parts of the sky. And it's amazingly ambitious, really. When do we think it's actually going to be online as 100% SKA?
Well, just to say, it is ambitious. Relatively, we are covering a huge frequency range, and you can't do it all with a single technology. Dishes don't work well at low frequencies. Dipole arrays don't work well at mid to higher frequencies. So we need to do the science. We need that full range of technology. But that's why we want to make it look like one observatory. So, you know, you, the user, shouldn't have to know the details of how an aperture array works to do the science that you want. I mean, you may want to know, but you shouldn't have to. In terms of timescales, we're looking, the detailed design phase will take of order 4 years from now. Construction of phase one, we expect to take up until about towards the end of the decade. So with science being delivered from phase one, maybe 2018, 2019. And then phase two will continue, hopefully, if we get the funding, on from that, with a target date for finishing phase two in the mid-2020s.
Okay. I mean, it sounds absolutely brilliant. What are the, maybe just as a last thing, an overview of the science goals and the sorts of things that the SKA will be able to do that no other telescope currently can?
Well, that is really down to the uniqueness of radio astronomy and some of the things that it can do that cannot be done at other wavelengths. That's not to say that other wavelengths don't have their own unique science goals as well. But for radio astronomy, the key things are what we call the history of hydrogen, understanding the evolution of hydrogen, the most common element in the universe, all the way from the Big Bang until now. Only radio astronomy can study hydrogen because of the frequency at which hydrogen emits radiation. So that's a major goal. Pulsar, using pulsars to probe fundamental physics, maybe even to detect gravitational waves and understand gravitational waves. That's a major goal. Those are the two major goals of phase one. But phase two of the SKA is going to be looking at the magnetic universe. That's best done in radio domain. What we call the cradle of life, which is just a catchy name for exploring the origins of planets, maybe looking for some of the molecular building blocks of life, many of which emit in radio wavelengths. Of course, there's those things that we don't know. That we'll be looking at. We'll be studying dark energy. We'll be looking at the effects of dark matter. And one that the public pick up on quite a lot, of course, is that search for extraterrestrial intelligence. that's not a primary goal of the SKA, but it may, there will be what we call commensal observations, that is observations running in parallel with other science programs that will enable us to take a data stream through SETI Electronics. So huge range of science, very complementary to the other big instruments being built.
It's very exciting, especially for everyone at Jodrell to have the headquarters here. But I think for radio astronomers all over the world, they'll be looking forward to it. So I'll say thank you very much there.
Thank you.